Friedman, Milton Friedman, born 1912, that both men live well into their 10th decade in their 90s. At the 90th birthday of Milton Friedman, there was a toast by, I believe, Ben Bernanke, who was born in 1953, so a much younger man. He toasted Milton Friedman and he said, "You were right. You were right. We did it." What's he talking about, Nicholas?
Well, the common view is that the cause of the Great Depression, the Keynesian view, was that it was to do with sort of mass hysteria in the markets. The people were speculating crazily on borrowing money in order to, rather like people do with Bitcoin right now, they're borrowing money in order to get rich quick. And this, according to Keynes, all went terribly wrong. What Friedman did, which was a lot of hard work, he and Anna Schwartz, his partner in work, was to look back at the figures, and he came to actually strangely a Keynesian conclusion, and that is, had the Federal Reserve provided cheap money to the banks at that time, there wouldn't have been a Great Depression, and there wouldn't have been the bank busts that took place.
And
but from that he deduced that actually there was something in the monetary theory, and so he went off on that crusade, really.
Does that become, just logically, does that become a guidepost for Ben Bernanke, who becomes the first of the several chairs to ease the interest rates to near zero and to find quantitative easing and tapering? In other words, to keep the money flowing into the market. Is it Friedman's insight that leads them, Nicholas?
It is exactly. Ben Bernanke, by happy chance, is an expert on monetary theory of the 1920s and 1930s. And he congratulates Friedman on his 90th birthday, saying, "You were absolutely right." And he toasted him for it. But he didn't know that within a couple of years, he was going to be in the middle of exactly the same thing that Herbert Hoover was swamped by, which was an economic disaster, which was unfathomable. And what he did was turn to Friedman's solution, which was actually also Keynesian's solution, which is you borrow money and you hose it into the system as fast as possible.
What's wonderful about economics is that it's apocalypse after apocalypse. You never
Somebody said about history, it's just one damn thing after the next.
Yes, but economics gives you the basis of the chill that sets into the economy and colors everything. Now, it is a moment to reflect about lessons learned. I have three lessons from your concluding chapter, Nicholas. Lesson number one, central banks can head off liquidity. Is that Friedman, Samuelson, or both of them?
Both of them.
Both of them.
Both of them.
And it's what we've illustrated. It's what QE means. Is it what taper means? Is taper another version of QE to them if they were here?
Yes. What it means is you introduce it gradually and you take it off gradually. It stands to reason. If you just stop it overnight, you're going to cause some economic harm. It's a bit like taking a patient from intensive care and throwing them straight out on the street. You've actually got to put them into a recovery first.
What we're coming to is a picture that is neither Keynes or Hayek, it's neither Samuelson or Friedman, it's everything, all together, working together, but disputing that they're working together. I think of those wonderful Second World War cartoons made by about Donald Duck when he would have the devil in one ear and the angel in the other ear whispering to him, back and forth, back and forth. All right, lesson number two. When you hit a recession, Keynesians to the fore. Is that a lesson that we've drawn from the last 100 years?
Yes, and it's the key lesson of Keynes, actually, which is that if you're in the bottom of a recession or if you have bad economic trouble, you impose Keynesianism. But at the top of the market, when you're doing very well, to avoid inflation, you actually withdraw all of that support. The second part, nobody ever followed because the economic cycle and the electoral cycle mismatched. Over time, presidents were just anxious to get reelected. They weren't actually interested in getting it right. And the four-year term is not the same as the economic cycle length.
Isn't it wonderful, Nicholas, to have written a book about the past that is, in fact, about the present and the future?
Well, I'm very happy that this arrived in time because now everybody's worried to death about hyperinflation.
Oh, of course we are.
And the amount of money. Hey, when it came to 2008, people thought it was reckless to borrow what was always called $1 trillion. In fact, it wasn't. It was $800 billion. But people didn't think it was enough. Well, never mind that. Biden has gone for $3 trillion and it sailed straight through too. Nobody's discussed this at all. All of those Friedman ideas have been put on the back burner for a while. They'll all come out again.
Yes, they'll be back. And the final lesson, we have less than a minute. The Hayek Friedman legacy, Samuelson regarded as poisoned. I think that's harsh. Is it poisoned or is it part of the conversation?
I think that the original debate between Hayek and Keynes was so vituperative that it left a lasting legacy that you can only discuss economics with a blackness in your soul, if you like. You hate the enemy. You make no attempt to accommodate them, even though, as you quite rightly point out, compromise, the finding of common ground, turned out to be the solution to everything.
Nicholas Wapshot is the author. The new book is Samuelson Friedman, The Battle Over the Free Markets, continuing. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashan.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.